This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Colosso Soprano. Go! The premier destination for soccer talk with Emmy Award-winning play-by-play man Dan Dibley.
Squirt!
And international soccer savant Rick Tittle.
Work it, work it.
Let's kick it off.
Well, let's launch into it then, Rick. A pro needs no warm-up other than a good old-fashioned go!
Three, two, one. Launch! We have liftoff.
Golazo, golazo, golazo. Asso, asso, asso. Golazo Supremo. Episode 41. What's good, Ricky T?
Hey, you know what? Everyone said, I give you guys 40 episodes, and then you're going to be at each other's throats.
Oh, yeah. You'll never make 41. There'll be blood on the pitch by 41. I mean, we're almost near halftime. 45 episodes in, plus, of course, the typical extra time.
Yes, we need like a little tiempo supplementario, a little stoppage.
I could use a little tiempo supplementario with maybe some rice and beans on the side.
Yeah, a little siesta, a little margarita, maybe Pacifico cerveza también.
No doubt, no doubt. Of course, this upcoming week I will be in Miami, so we will have
really?
To.
Really? Are you taking the shows there?
Yeah, we're taking our show, Jolo and Dibs, on location.
How great.
It's
congratulations.
Great. Yeah, thank you. I've never been to Miami, so do you have any Miami tips for me?
Never been. Never okay. been to Miami. So you get to sleep in a little bit, too.
Yeah, show's going 9 to 1. It's almost tittle hours, you know? I'm titillated
by that. My mail password hasn't worked for a week, so I don't get anything.
Oh, no?
Yeah, I'll go see if I'm still on the list or not.
Oh, boy. Is that what it's come to here?
I don't know.
Persona non grata, as we go from Spanish to...
That will be the... Well, if that happens, then the podcast dies, so let's hope that doesn't happen.
We can always do it externally, and we can import it, or we can export
it. We can do
it
over at Schroeder's.
We sure could, and there's tons to talk about as it pertains
Just
to...
Just tell me when we start.
We've started. 3, 2, and 1, go! Yes. Rick, match day 24 is in the books. We'll talk about that. OGS, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, is under some heat at Manchester United, although he doesn't seem to think so. We got to talk about Bobby Firmino rescuing Liverpool, keeping their winning streak alive. And of course, there's always some transfer news. I know the Spurs have added young Willian Jose, and we'll get into that.
Is that official?
It's according to sources, they're confident of the signing
of
Willian Jose. According to sources, they're not confident. And that source would be
well,
you.
Well, Willian Jose, who is a guy who plays for Real Sociedad. He's a big, strapping Brazilian striker. He's had a cup of coffee with the national team. We'll see if that happens. We hear that officially today that Christian Eriksen might be on his way to Inter. So far, just Gedson Fernandez, a loan of 1.5 years from Benfica. That's been the signing for Spurs so far. But I will say this out, a little shout out to our mutual friend, Michael Urban. The Real Sociedad kit says good ball on it. So I think that jersey is good for ball.
Nice. It is good for ball.
I had to text it to him, and I said, this jersey is good for ball. He goes, yes, it is.
That's awesome. I haven't talked to the big left-hander in quite some time. I owe him a call, to be sure. Let's start with just match day 24 in the Prem, and we'll go from the most recent to the oldest of the results, starting, of course, with Liverpool. First, before we get to Liverpool's mastery, Wolves have turned out to be a pretty sturdy side in the Premier League.
Well, especially with Adama at wing, he's just a little fire truck, and I saw
Traore.
What he's been able to do. It's funny, like, he wasn't going by Traore because there were a million Traores. He was going by Adama, but then I thought, Adama, that's what Lauren Green characters was in Battlestar Galactica, which no one remembers. But anyway.
Intruder alert. Intruder alert. I'm with you.
Yeah, those were the Cylons.
Yeah, side to side eye. Yeah, exactly.
And that was our first time we heard about Starbucks. Because it was Apollo and Starbuck.
And what was his little, he had that little creature sidekick.
Yeah. L9D2. No, I don't know.
You're incredible, though, with your recall.
I wish that was it.
Yeah, me too.
But anyway, Wolves is a, yeah, Wolves is, it's funny, I had to learn how to say that. England are ahead, Wolves is, it, Wolves are a good side, and that guy is just an absolute truck. What's funny about him is that he never scores any goals. I mean, he was a guy who didn't have a very good season last year. For a guy who's supposed to score goals, it's almost like he's just figured it out in the last month. Like, and sometimes that light bulb goes off in professional sports like that.
Yeah, they're currently seventh after sustaining a 2-1 defeat at the last breath, or virtually the last breath, as the man I like to call Bobby Firmino, Roberto Firmino, doing it again with Sadio Mane sustaining a knock. What do you make of this Liverpool team and their continued resiliency? Even though, look, I mean, they're 16 points cleared with a game in hand. This thing is over, but the hoisting of the trophy, yet they continue to find ways and they find the motivation to continue to win these tight games.
Yeah, I think it's 31 unbeaten now. And when you think about, normally when a team has run away with the Premier League, I don't think about them anymore. And I'm not a Liverpool hater, despite the fact that they beat my team in the Champions League final this spring. But I do find myself now hoping that they'll lose a game, just because this is getting out of hand at this point, Dan.
It's been out of hand. Jimenez with the goal for Wolves, but unfortunately they fall just short and they are in a flat-footed tie with Manchester United and Tottenham for fifth. So the spot in the Europa League very much up for grabs. The shoe, Sheffield United sitting on 33 points, and Southampton, Arsenal, Palace, Everton, all just a small handful away. So that maybe is the most compelling of the races as we go down the stretch. One real surprise, and although it's a surprise to me, you kind of called it, Leicester City. Nice bounce back over the Hammers, but they've fallen on some tough form, now in third place in the Premier League.
Yeah, and I don't think they'll drop out of the top five, but I sort of see them probably fifth when it all comes down to it. It's funny how spoiled you get. And it's happened with Giants fans. It's happened with Warriors fans too. But with Tottenham, with Pochettino finishing in the top four every year, it's like, the Europa League. I used to pray for the UEFA. It's the old UEFA Cup. Or I remember when we got into the Cup Winners' Cup, those kind of got combined. Like in 91, when we got in the Cup Winners' Cup, I was so excited. I hadn't been back to Europe. Of course, they had that ban for all English teams for 5 years because of the
hooliganism.
Yes, Krieg im Stadion is there. I was actually in Europe when that happened in 85. That was Liverpool and Juventus and Brussels. But anyway, that loss that Manchester United had to Burnley, that's the first time Burnley has won at Old Trafford since in our lives, 1962.
Wow.
Now, when we see a stat like that as an American, you thought, oh my gosh, they've lost for 60 years. Fact of the matter is, they might not have been in the top flight.
Right, right.
So it's a little bit misleading. But we've got some, and we'll get to it, some very interesting FA Cup action.
Yeah, without a doubt. Fourth round is upcoming. And that Burnley victory really propels them, not totally safe from relegation, but it gives them separation ahead of Brighton, Aston Villa, the aforementioned Hammers, Bournemouth, and Watford. Norwich City looks like they're going down, barring a miraculous turnaround. But an interesting race, and for the time, Burnley kind of removing themselves from that cluster, Chuck.
Yeah, and Tottenham just beat Norwich on Wednesday. We had some midweek action, and it was a little iffy there for a while. I want to give a shout out before we get to the FA Cup, some results over the weekend. Everton was at Goodison against Newcastle. They were leading 2-0, 90+4. And Florian Lejeune, a defender, scores a bicycle kick. He's never scored for Newcastle in, 5 years. Then, right after that, Florian Lejeune scored a goal in this goal-mouth scramble. So, Goodison, it was 90+6. So, 90+4, 90+6. This is why you got to keep playing until the final whistle. A 2-2 draw. But I bring up Florian Lejeune, the Frenchman, not just because he's never scored, but I remember when Newcastle signed him about, 4 years ago, he talked about, oh yes, when I was a kid working for some criminals, the way I would dispose of corpses is I would put them in the trunk and I would weigh them down with weights, and then I would drive the car into the middle of a lake. And they're like, what? And he's like, nothing. Like he realized, like, what are you talking about right now? And he's like, oh yeah, I did it multiple times. And they go, do you want to get a little more specific? And he goes, maybe we better change the subject.
And how do you drive into the middle of a lake?
I don't know how that went, but I can tell you that if I'm a striker and I hear that that guy has that story, I'm probably avoiding that guy.
Yeah, I'm not going to be that aggressive on a set piece inside the 6-yard box. That's for certain. Lest I wind up in the trunk myself. One more look back at the week that's gone by before we look ahead, and you have to point out the unsightly draw for Chelsea at Stamford Bridge against 10-man Arsenal. Props to Arsenal. It's a gutsy result. They needed it as they continued to try to push for maybe that spot in Europa. But to allow a 10-man team to equalize on your ground late, that's an embarrassing way to only secure 1 point.
No, it is. But I said there's some tough times now in the capital right now. And he say, look, there are a lot of teams that would kill to be in the... Like Chelsea, Tottenham... And Arsenal are all in the top 10. And you think about Crystal Palace as another London side, and you've got, you know, the QPRs and the Charlton Athletics that are trying to get back up there. A lot of people would like to have these problems. One other little shout out that I thought was cool in the Tottenham game v Norwich is that they had a pregame ceremony, as they do sometimes, but it was a guy's 103rd birthday who was at D-Day. Now, of course, the British and the Canadians were at Gold Sword in Juneau. That's not exactly Omaha or Utah, but 103 years old. His name was Captain Mayhew, still going strong. So just a little shout out that we think that generation is gone, and there's Captain Mayhew going to a football match, Don.
At 103, which is impressive. To do anything at 103 years of age, other than decompose 6 feet under, that's impressive. But to still go to a football match at that age is even more impressive, I'd have to say.
Very cool, yes. And before we get to the FA Cup...
Because I can't wait.
The biggest news around here, if you're MLS, is that the little P, Chicharito, is going to the Los Angeles Galaxy. I know some people were saying this is the biggest signing in the history of Major League Soccer, which to me made me laugh. But on the other hand... If you're a fan of Mexico and El Tri, he is the all-time leading scorer, believe it or not, 52 goals for the Mexican national team. And I think about the tickets that he can sell. The only thing is there was controversy one day after he signed because he was on the phone with his dad. He goes, I guess I'm about to retire, huh? And they're like, oh, so this is the retirement league? And he goes, no, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. I was just saying I can see the end of the tunnel here.
Right.
Yeah, but he's right.
In essence, he's right in part. Chicharito had an opportunity to play in Major League Soccer 10 years ago and chose not to, obviously because there were more competitive leagues and leagues where he would be compensated at a higher level. But for Major League Soccer, to get a player of that caliber, and he still has a lot left. He can't even be 30 years old, I don't believe.
No, it's just, then again, Major League Soccer is celebrating a guy that West Ham didn't want. You know, that's just, I hate to put it in those terms, but sometimes reality bites, as Ben Stiller would say.
Yes, you hate to do it, but you were quick to point it out.
Yes.
So I guess you don't hate it quite that much.
Hater.
Hey, hater. Let's talk FA Cup. We've got a couple underway right now as we sit. I believe we're in the fourth round, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, those non-league teams play the first few rounds, and then they bring in the big boys round
Northampton
three.
Northampton Town going up against Derby County.
How about that? Wayne Rooney, he's back.
With Derby County.
Yeah, and Northampton Town is a League Two side. The Cobblers, Dan, because they make a lot of shoes in Northampton.
The Peach Cobblers? I love a good Peach Cobbler. Apple Cobbler, it's more of a pie.
But is it on Mount Cobbler?
That's interesting. Ty Cobbler would have to be on there as we go all
And
the
I think
back.
Maybe Corn on the Cobbler.
Not bad.
Yes.
QPR also taking on Sheffield Wednesday, but the match on Friday. Please explain.
The match on Friday?
It's Sheffield Wednesday, but they're playing Friday. It was a poor effort.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why are they called Sheffield Wednesday?
They're called Sheffield Wednesday because when you were down the pits, as they say, these guys were all... I mean, Sheffield is basically Pittsburgh of England. It's steel town. There's a lot of coal up there. They call it the black country, especially Wolverhampton, which we get Wolves. But the miners had one day off, Dan. And so your day off was Saturday, but then they realized everybody had the day off. So they had to have minors who would have the midweek break. So they had minors that their day off would be Wednesday. Well, when can you play soccer? So they had one team that played on Saturdays, Sheffield United at Bramall Lane, and then at Hillsborough, they had the team that played on Wednesday, and they just wrote Sheffield, Wednesday, and that became their name, Sheffield Wednesday, and their nickname is the Owls.
Great, great story.
Thank you.
It's fantastic. Fourth round action, again, tomorrow. We've got some of the big boys playing. Leicester City will be at Brentford, Burnley and Norwich City, Coventry City and Birmingham City. A lot of cities going head-to-head. The Shoe at Millwall, that's an interesting one.
Oh, Mill Brawl. You know, I went right by the new den when I was there in October. And if you take the Thames Link south, and I was taking it down to Brighton, it goes right by the new den. You can look right in. Speaking of new, when you look at Liverpool, we were talking about playing Shrewsbury Town. They play at the new Meadow. They played at Gay Meadow for 97 years. Think about that, how long that ground lasted. And one of the things I like about Shrewsbury, which is a team from the 1880s, their crest has three loggerheads, which in America, loggerheads means a dumb guy. A loggerhead is a cheetah to the Brits. So you have three loggerheads, three cheetahs, and then you have Floreite Salpio, which means flourish Shrewsbury. And I'm like, now how can they get the Latin name? And it's because so many Roman outposts are where, you know, English cities are, like Londinium is London. Verulanium is St. Albans for some reason. But Salpio was originally Shrewsbury. So Floreat Salpio, flourish Shrewsbury, but they've never really won anything. They're yet to flourish.
They're yet to Florio.
What am I going to say?
Mike Florio?
You're talking about a team that, Pro Football Talk, that's been around since the American Civil War. I mean, it's just so much tradition right there.
It's incredible. And you are able to spin these yarns so eloquently. I really appreciate that.
I'm a nerd.
Bringing some of the history to life. Of course, your Spurs looking for a trophy. They'll be at Southampton taking on the Saints.
I went to St. Mary's Stadium one time. It was right after they got rid of the Dell. And there was a Matt Letizia bar there. I remember I walked. It was 1 degree Celsius. And I walked across a bridge. I walked across the River Itchen. And I said, it's obitchin' crossing the Itchen. Nice. And no one knew what I was talking about.
Nobody got that.
Yeah. And then they lost. It was Andreas. Who was the Swedish guy? Well, whatever. It was a bad day in Blackhawk. Bad Black Rock. Bad day in Blackhawk is when someone breaches the gate.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Shout out Blackhawk Country Club, and yes. They're two different courses. Bournemouth and Arsenal will be Monday. Man U and Tranmere.
Yeah, and how about Tranmere? Tranmere is, if you go to Liverpool, you have the Mersey, and then right across the Mersey on the west side is Birkenhead. And Birkenhead is where Prenton Park is. That's where Tranmere Rovers plays. And when I think of Tranmere, the great players, John Aldridge, the great Irish striker who played for Liverpool and for Juventus, he started off at Tranmere. But it's kind of a joke because Stanley Park is where you have Goodison and Anfield, the Everton and Liverpool fans. But it's always, whenever they do poorly, all their joke is, I think I'll support Tranmere now.
Nice.
So yes, a little, and they hate Manchester United and Liverpool. So I think they'll all be pulling for those on that peninsula is called the Wirral, W-I-R-R-A-L. So go over to Birkenhead, to Prenton Park, to the Wirral, knowing this is only good on a pod for you and me.
Yes, and Manchester United is a team that's in a little bit of turmoil right now with Marcus Rashford sidelined.
You know,
devastating
why?
My fantasy team.
He has a rash.
He should have. If it was a rash, he'd play through it. He was playing through back issues.
Yes.
He's got a pretty bad back issue. 1 to 2 months, he'll be out, which speaks to partly the trouble Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's having. Although he says, quote, the Manchester United hierarchy is supporting him. The supporters aren't supporting him, but the hierarchy is. What's Manchester United going to do, Rick? Because to me, it doesn't seem to be a manager issue. It's more of a talent issue.
Well, guys like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, they grow on trees. I hate to say it. Not talent-wise, but managerial experience-wise. You're not going to give up on a guy like Marcus Rashford. He's a guy who's still a kid, in my opinion. He hasn't even filled out yet. I'll always choose talent over management, unless you have somebody who's, you know, if you have an Andy Reid or a Bill Belichick, you're like, look, we'll get some scrubs, he'll coach him up. You can't say that about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer yet.
He doesn't have the pelt on the wall, so to speak.
Not yet, yes.
And injuries to Pogba and Scott McTominay and now Rashford out as well. And Anthony Martial not developing as you might think. How much of that is on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
Yeah, I wonder about what kind of attitude he has or why he's not fitting in, because Martial was a fantastic striker, and I was sick when Tottenham didn't get him, and he's proven that he can bang them in the Premier League.
Yeah, talk to him.
So it's just a matter now of he might be going through a bad spell. I don't know what's going on with him.
ESPN.com with a poll. Is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer the right man to turn Man U around? 366,000 votes have come in, and the no has it right now by a 51-49% margin. So
wow,
that speaks to the great divide of the two camps on OGS.
I would have thought it would be more 80% against. So that's actually, that's good. It's not good news to be losing, but it does show that at least half the fans feel that. And I think half of that, too, is just the love, you know, for that team. Like, it was weird when, you know, Tottenham in the last round and of the FA Cup, and they're going up against Jonathan Woodgate and Robbie Keane as the coaches for the other team. It's like, I'm not rooting for your team, but I still love you guys.
Right, yeah. And that's where the cross-pollination in English football in particular becomes so dramatic, where, like you were saying, Wayne Rooney back now at Derby County, and he might go up against Manchester United or one of his other former clubs. He's also with Everton, right?
Came up as Everton. Yeah, that goal he scored as an 18-year-old, one of the greatest debut goals of all time. And you just thought, wow, Everton are on their way back to the glory days of the 80s with Graham Sharp and Howard Kendall. And then they sold him. And all he did was score more goals than anybody else in English national team history.
Let's kick around a few of these transfers that have happened since we last had a discussion. Start with Victor Moses, who goes from Chelsea to Inter. How might this affect Christian Eriksen and his potential move, or does it at all?
I don't know. You know, it's funny. The Christian Eriksen to Inter Milan situation kind of reminds me of when Mark McGuire was with the A's and Sandy Alderson let the trade deadline go down to the last 10 minutes, and he called up his old buddy Walt Jocketty in St. Louis and goes, come on, just take McGuire. He's like, I got nothing. He goes, give me Kenny Battle and TJ Matthews and Juan Cruz. We'll just call it a day. And it's like, you have this great player, and he's kind of like, eh. Now, the one thing I really don't like, and this is true with the internet trolls and Twitter trolls, what have you, is that Eriksen is getting so much hate from a lot of the fans. And so I think these fans either have a short memory or they haven't been watching. It's not like he hasn't been trying. He has been excellent the last three games. Giovanni Lo Celso has been good the last two as well. So, like, he's trying and Eriksen's not. I'm like, hey, you guys have... He's one of our best players of the last 10 years. No one has more assists since the Premier League started in 92. And that's... It's going to be sad when he goes. I know he's going to go. He said he wanted to go. But I don't like the revisionist history of, like, oh, we got to get rid of him. There's a guy named AJ Tracy who's a rapper that you never heard of, because I never heard of him. But he's a Tottenham supporter. He sang at halftime in the Champions League final, and he was tweets out, I hope Eriksen never plays another game for us. This is a 20-year-old guy. You know, it's just, I don't know, it just irks me when I don't see the proper appreciation.
Right, especially when you talk about a player who's been so productive for Tottenham and has been a part of some of their greatest moments in recent history to have the fan base turn on him, basically because he fell out of favor with his manager, I think is short-sighted.
Yeah, and you think about when he played and when he doesn't play, like what happens, you know, like when Steph Curry doesn't play, how does the offense, when George Kittle, how does the run game look? The Niners can't run anymore. And then Kittle plays again. Wow, what blocking he does. Those years and those games when Eriksen missed, it's just, I don't know. I think people, it's what have you done for me lately?
Just a couple more here. It's Golasso Supremo. We're running down some transfers. Rick Tittle and Dan Dibley with you. Aaron Mooy goes from Huddersfield Town to Brighton Hove and Albion. A good player. I've always liked his stylings. Louis Barry goes from Barcelona to Aston Villa. Is it surprising that so many of these teams near relegation are making these moves, or is this pretty standard fare in the January window?
Well, if your team, I mean, you're desperate to avoid the drop because you can go away forever. And we've talked about the teams. Like, the first 20 years I followed soccer, there was an old adage that Coventry can't be relegated because Manchester United and Tottenham both got relegated in the 70s, not Coventry. That was just never going to happen. There are five teams that have never been relegated since the Premier League has started. Only five. And so it can happen to anyone, and you go down, and it, look how long it took Villa to get back up. And I say Leeds and Notts Forest have never come back up. It's just remarkable. It's like saying, you know, Notre Dame and Michigan went down, and we never heard from them again.
Right.
It's like, what?
That just wouldn't happen. Yeah. That just would be inconceivable.
Yes, it would.
Jose Mourinho is back in the news, jabbing his old club, Manchester United, on the Bruno Fernandes transfer saga. Can't he just close his mouth? Doesn't he have bigger fish to fry?
No, and this is why when Tottenham got him, I was like, on the one hand, a guy that's won 30 trophies, but on the other hand, you know you're in for a show, and sometimes that show is not a savory one, but that's just his personality. Now, he's not Antonio Brown. He's not self-destructive, but yeah, he'll always have an opinion. He'll always say something.
And Fernandez is potentially going to be transferred from Sporting. They want £80 million, while United are offering £60 million. Quite a gulf between the two sides, and Mourinho had to chime in with, how was Lisbon? Lisbon was good. So Bruno Fernandes come to United or no? So you go to Lisbon and he's not coming, but coming or no? Just mind your own business and worry about your own failing squad right now, Jose.
I would say that as well. And listen, some of these loan fees, it's funny. It wasn't that long ago that a loan was always free. And now you can get money for a loan. I look at that. We were talking earlier about Willian Jose. He belonged to Deportivo Maldonado, is a team.
That's Candy's brother.
Yes, a team that I had never heard of in Brazil. They loaned him out 5 years in a row to Barcelona and Real Madrid. And each time they lent him out, they got like $30 million. It was a genius thing to do. You want Willian Jose? Yes. We'll loan him to you for a year. Okay, how much? And then teams kept paying. They kept paying. And if I'm the player, I'm like, you're just jerking me around. I'm your ATM. And the team's like, yeah,
yes,
you are.
Yes, you are.
You are.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And so does he get that money, or that transfer fee goes to the club and then they pay him whatever they pay him?
He gets not one red cent of it. No.
So when the transfer fees happen, how does the player then get compensated?
The player has to agree, as they say, personal terms. And it's funny. I listened to the Danny Baker, Gary Lineker podcast the other day about how much these players get per week. And we can see things of, you know, £150,000 a week. When Gary Lineker started off at Leicester City, he got £16 a week, and he got £5 that he was supposed to give his mum for driving him there.
Wow.
And he said his mom was so sweet. She'd always say, I don't want the £5. So he got £21 a week.
It's so big.
Yeah, and I don't begrudge these players, but so they can agree a fee, Inter and Tottenham, and Christian Eriksen, and Inter could say, we'll give you £50,000 a week. He's like, I'm already making 120 per week. And he can say, no, the transfer's off. He has to agree personal terms and then pass a physical.
Gotcha. A couple more before we depart here on Golazo Supremo. Copa del Rey, we had ourselves a stunner. Tiny Cultural Leonesa 2, Atletico Madrid 1 in the round of 32 in extra time. Is this the kind of win that can propel a club for really the lifetime of players on the pitch to beat a big boy like that?
I think what this, just knowing from what I've seen in England, all that gets you is a spot in the latest version of Giant Killers, which was a show they had. And then the headline in the paper will become a t-shirt, and then everybody will forget about it. Outside of, what are some of the greatest upsets ever? Oh, remember when Cultura, whatever you said.
Cultura.
Yeah, remember when they won? This usually doesn't jettison you into the top flight. It's usually a big team. It's like when Tottenham lost to Notts County, which is what Juventus bases their jersey on, by the way, the black and white stripes. And I remember Jurgen Klinsmann said, everybody there is the same size as us, the same speed. They've been playing soccer their whole lives. Why are people surprised by this? And I'm like, well, you guys are world-class players, and they're a bunch of, you know, hacks. That's why.
Yeah, and this team is from Segunda B, or, you know, the third division, essentially down.
Second Bay, third division.
Right. It's just incredible, and they'll be drawn into a round of 16 matchup today. And pretty impressive for this little club to come through and knock off one of the big boys.
No, and that's why we love these cup runs, because the history is littered with them. My team suffered from it. Every team has. You take your eyes off the prize just for a second. You play some old guys. You play some young guys. You're trying to rest your good players for, and you just kind of assume, well, I can rest basically everybody here, and you can't.
And that's the beauty of the Tranmere run, beating Watford to set up that battle with Man U.
Go Rovers.
In the fourth round. Yeah, the Tranmere Rovers. Yes, indeed. Some more transfer talk. Liverpool keen on £70 million to get Isco from Real Madrid. Does Liverpool really need to add another piece to an already stacked squad?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you want to go depth, you can. I don't know why Isco would want to come. It's funny. For the last 3 years, Tottenham have been linked with Isco, and it always seems like Real Madrid can't wait to get rid of him. But I know that Zizou likes Isco. He likes him more than he likes Gareth Bale. I would love to have Isco on my team. If I'm a Liverpool fan, you'd say, why not? Because you say, we don't need him. And then the next thing you know, three guys break their legs, and you're like, oh, it's too late.
And in addition, for Tottenham possibly losing Christian Eriksen, not Mayente, but Llorente, Fernando Llorente might be making a move as well. Perhaps Olivier Giroud from Chelsea might be going to Inter as well.
Well, Giroud is a striker that still has a lot left. Please, please, no, Fernando Llorente. Come on. Give me a break on that guy. He scored some important goals. He had a great attitude. He's a nice guy. But he's the king of missing sitters. He's plodding. He's slow. If we can't do better than that, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah, you can't be missing a sitter. If you miss a sitter, then you're leaving the kids at home alone, and nobody wants that.
This was a production of the 95.7 The Game Podcast Network. Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.